The megacity was breathing. Not loudly, not still, just a constant hum that sounded to run beneath everything. Buses rolled to the wet thoroughfares, neon signs flitted in billabongs, and a thin mist hung low over the structures like the sky. It hadn't decided yet whether it wanted to rain again. Inside a small cafe put away between a bookstore and florist, the air smelled like roasted coffee sap and fresh paper. Aaron sat near the window, sketchbook open but untouched. He was supposed to be drawing. That's what he told himself when he came then after work. But the verity was, he came then every evening for a reason he didn't say out loud. A reason that made his twinkle quicken every time the cafe door opened. At 6:15, it opened again. She stepped in with the kind of quiet presence that pulled attention without asking for it. Her hair was damp from the mizzle outdoors, falling approximately over a white sweater. She shook it slightly, laughing under her breath. And when she turned toward the counter, her eyes caught the light, blue, clear, deep enough to stop time for an alternate. Aaron forgot to breathe. That was the thing about her eyes. They didn't just look at you. They looked into you, like they knew commodity you hadn't said yet. He'd seen her ahead, many times actually, always around the same hour, always alone, always ordering the same thing, one cappuccino, one slice of bomb cutlet. She'd also sit at the same corner table and open a book. No way her phone. She read sluggishly, lips moving slightly like she wanted to taste every word. Tonight, however, she set up her usual spot formally taken. For a split second, she dithered, surveying the room, and her aspect landed on the empty present across from Aaron. He didn't plan to look up at that exact moment. He didn't plan anything. But when her eyes met his, commodity in his casket shifted. It was a grand explosion, more like the quiet recognition of commodity he'd been missing. She smiled, just a small, polite smile. "Mind if I sit then?" Far and wide differently as full. He blinked, also jounced too snappily. "Yeah, yeah, of course." Her laugh was soft. "Thanks." As she settled across from him, placing her book and mug on the table, Aaron tried to feel casual. He failed. His pencil rolled off the table and hit the bottom with a soft clink. She bent down to pick it up before he could. "Artist?" she asked, holding it out. "Trying to be," he said, taking it from her, substantially pretending. "Pretending is how everyone starts," she said, stirring her coffee. "What do you draw?" "People," substantially. "Faces. Expressions. The moments before they speak." "That's specific," she said, raising an eyebrow. "Do you draw non-natives too?" He dithered. "Occasionally." "Also, I might be in trouble," she teased. He smiled, eventually relaxing a little. "Not unless you make a really good face for sketching." She leaned back in her president, eyes glinting. "Define good." He studied her for a moment, perhaps longer than was polite. "Commodity that feels alive." "Also, I guess I should sit variably still," she said, and open her book. Aaron didn't draw her right down. He told himself not to. It would be weird, too soon, but his hand moved nearly on its own. Lines appeared on the runner, the wind of her jaw, the cock of her mouth, the light in her hair. He didn't look down much, just enough to trace what he saw in his mind. When he eventually looked back over, she was watching him. "Caught," she said, a smile lugging at her lips. He said, "Sorry." "I? No, doin't be." She leaned closer, skimming at the sketchbook. "Is that me?" "Perhaps," he said still. She studied the runner for a moment, also jounced. "You made me look calmer than I feel." "That's because you look calm when you walk by," he said. Her eyes lifted to his. And for a twinkle, they just looked at each other. That soft, blue stillness again. Also, she closed her book, stood up and said, "I'll be back hereafter. Perhaps you can finish it also." He blinked. "You will?" She smiled that small, knowing smile again. "I always come back." And also she was gone, the bell over the cafe door chiming noiselessly behind her. Aaron sat there long after she left, gaping at the untreated sketch. He didn't indeed know her name, but ever her presence dallied in the space around him, like incense that refused to fade. When he eventually packed up and stepped into the night, The rain had stopped. The thoroughfares were slick, reflecting the gleam of shop signs. He walked without really knowing where he was going, replaying the sound of her voice in his head. He set up himself, allowing about her eyes again. How blue they were, but not in the usual way people say blue. They were ent the sky or the ocean. They were the kind of blue you fall into by accident and realize too late you see Aunt climb back out. The coming evening, Aaron came beforehand. Too beforehand. He pretended he was just there for the coffee, but the cafe proprietor, a sharp-eyed woman named Mara, noticed. "You staying for someone?" she asked, handing him his drink. He signed. "Not really." "Sure," she said, staring. "You've been glancing at the door every 30 seconds. "Observation's part of my job," he said, lifting his sketchbook. "Also observe this," she said. "You're nervous." He laughed under his breath, perhaps a little. At 6:15, the bell chimed again. She came in just like ahead, except this time she looked for him first. Their eyes met across the room, and she walked straight to his table. "Hi," she said. "Hey," he replied, trying not to sound too happy. "I didn't suppose you'd actually be then," she said, sliding into the seat across from him. "Also, you don't know how bad I'm pretending. I do and watch about effects." She smiled, put away a beachfront of hair behind her observance. "You say that like it's an excrescence. Perhaps it is. Or perhaps it's the only honest way to live." For a while, they talk about small effects, books, the rainfall, the strange comfort routine. Her name, he learned, was Lena. She worked hard at a small publishing office. She abominated mornings and loved showers. Her favorite pen was someone Aaron had no way read, and she promised to bring him a dupe the coming day. When she eventually looked down at his sketchbook again, she said, "Can I see it?" He dithered, also turned the runner toward her. Her breath caught a little. "It's beautiful." "It's untreated," he said. "So am I," she replied vocally. The words landed heavier than either of them anticipated. She looked down, tracing her cutlet along the coffee mug's hem. He didn't ask what she meant. Commodity in her tone told him not to. The rain started again outdoors, tapping gently against the glass. Aaron flipped to a blank runner. "Let's start another one," he said. She lifted her head. "Another sketch?" "Yeah, but this time you tell me what to draw." She allowed for a moment. "Draw what it feels like to see someone for the first time and ever know they're going to matter." He looked at her for a long second. "That's veritably specific." She smiled noiselessly. "Perhaps it's just a coexistence." He started to draw, the pencil moving briskly this time. He didn't suppose, didn't plan. He just followed whatever came out. It was in her face this time. It was an abstract shape, light and murk twisting into commodity half-real. A reflection in blue. When he finished, he turned it toward her. She looked at it for a long time. "Also rumored. That's exactly it." He wanted to say commodity, anything, but words felt too small. Rather, they sat in silence, the sound of rain filling the space between them. And nearly in that quiet, commodity began to shift. Not loudly, not suddenly, just enough for him to feel it. The launch of commodity he couldn't relatively name. That night, Aaron couldn't sleep. Every time he closed his eyes, he saw hers. The way they looked at him over the edge of her coffee mug, the blue catching the light, the quiet pull behind them. He didn't know where this was heading. He didn't indeed know if he should want it to. But what he did know, deep down, was that he was formally lost. Lost in the blue of her eyes. And he wasn't sure he ever wanted to be set up. The coming morning felt quieter than usual. The megacity still moved the same. Motor cars whizzed to a stop. Voices revealed into thoroughfares. Shop shutters rattled open, but Aaron felt slightly out of sync with it all, as if his studies were still wedged nearly between her smile and the sound of rain. He hadn't indeed realized how important space she'd taken up in his mind until he sat down at his office. His job as a freelance illustrator generally kept him busy, but that day the blank runner on his tablet stayed white for hours. He kept sketching and erasing, until eventually he gave up and just drew eyes. Blue bones. By late autumn, he'd filled two runners. At 6, he went back to cafe without indeed pretending he'd another reason. Mara gave him that same knowing boo when he walked by, She's not done yet, she said. He blinked. Who? The girl you doin' stay for, she said, tapping the counter. Coffee, he smiled. Make it two. By the time Lena walked in, her hair dry this time and her book put away under her arm, the alternate mug was formally staying for her. You really are confident, she said, setting her bag down. Auspicious, he said. Confidence is too precious. She laughed. Well, sanguinity suits you. He signaled at the mug. You said history you'd bring me a book. I figure it's only fair I bring you coffee. She placed the book gently in front of him. Fair trade. He looked at the cover, a worn paperback, the title in soft italics letters to the lost light. No way heard of it, he said. You will, she said. Read it sluggishly. They sat together as they had the night ahead, but commodity about the air felt different. The awkwardness had melted down, replaced by a kind of quiet meter. They talked about Small Effect again, her nonage in a literal city, his time in art academy, how he formally quit drawing for 6 months after a schoolteacher told him he demanded imagination. You don't lack imagination, Lena said, tracing a cutlet over his sketchbook cover. You see people where they hope to be seen. That's a gift. He looked up at her, surprised by the wimpiness in her tone. How would you know that after 2 days? She smiled noiselessly. Because you drew me like I was at peace. And I haven't felt that in a long time. He wanted to ask why. The words nearly rose to his lips. But also he saw her eyes, how they suddenly shifted, darkening slightly, like a surge pulling back before it breaks. Rather, he just said, you can tell me eventually, if you want. Perhaps, she said, her smile returning just enough to hold the silence together. That night, they stayed once ending. Mara ultimately came over, wiping her hands on a kerchief. All right, lovebirds, she said. Time to set me free? Lena laughed, standing up. We're not. Mara cut her off with a grin. Sure you're not. Outside, the megacity had gone quiet. The rain had stopped again, leaving the thoroughfares glistering under streetlights. They walked together, neither in a hurry to say goodbye. So, Lena said, looking up at the sky, do you always draw non-natives? Not really. Utmost people don't sit long enough. And if I stop coming? He stopped walking. Also, I'll still draw you. From memory. She turned to face him. The faint, unheroic gleam from the streetlight caught in her eyes again, that insolvable blue, deep and alive. What if your memory changes me? She asked still. He allowed about that. Also, perhaps I'll get to know an interpretation of you. Indeed, you have ain't met yet. For a moment, she didn't answer. Also, she said vocally, you make effects sound simpler than they are. Perhaps I just see them as they could be. She looked at him for a long second before saying, good night, Aaron. Good night, Lena. And just like that, she was gone again, fading into the soft hum of the megacity. The following days fell into a meter, neither of them named, but both still reckon on. Every evening, 615. The same cafe. The same corner table. Occasionally, they talked endlessly. Occasionally, they just sat in silence while Aaron sketched and Lena read. It was easy. Too easy, perhaps. The kind of easy that feels dangerous when you realize how important it starts to count. One evening, after a week of this quiet ritual, Lena showed up looking different. Not tired exactly. Just heavier ever, like she'd been carrying commodity all day that would ain't let go. You okay? Aaron asked. Just work, she said. Deadlines. Arguments. Life. He jounced, not pushing. But as she belted her coffee, her hands quivered slightly. Without thinking, he reached across the table, resting his hand over hers. She looked at him, startled at first, also softer. I'm okay, she rumored. I know, he said. You just don't have to be all the time. Commodity in her expression cracked, a bitsy, nearly unnoticeable fracture. But rather pulling down, she turned her wind to meet his. The cafe around them faded. For a moment, it was just her hand, warm against his, and her eyes, those endless eyes, holding him in place. Latterly that night, he couldn't stop replaying that moment. It was ent romantic in any grand sense. There were no fireworks, No movie perfect music. Just connection. Quiet, fragile, and real. He opened his sketchbook and drew it. Two hands on a rustic cafe table, one open, one reaching, the faint reflection of rainlight between them. When he finished, he inked it at the bottom untreated. The coming evening, she didn't come. Aaron stayed until ending. The bell over the door, no way chimed. The night after that same thing. By the third evening, Mara eventually said, "You staying for her again?" He exhaled. "Yeah." Mara poured him a mug on the house. "People vanish occasionally," she said still. "Doesn't always mean the story's over." He didn't answer. He just sat there, gaping at the empty present across from him, the bone that had started to feel like hers. 3 days latterly, she came back. The moment she walked by, Aaron felt Commodity's sharp release in his casket. But the relief dissolved when he saw her face. She looked pale, drawn, her usual warmth bedimmed. "Lena," he said, standing. "Where were you?" She smiled noiselessly, but it didn't reach her eyes. "I'm sorry. I had to go nearly." He signaled toward the seat. "Sit, please." She did. For a moment, neither spoke. Also, she said, "I didn't mean to vanish. I just demanded time." "Time for what?" "To decide whether it's fair to keep coming then." He lowered. "What does that mean?" She took a slow breath. "You said, I look calm in your delineation, but the verity is, I'm not. I haven't been for a long time." He leaned forward. "Also tell me, whatever it is, I can hear." She shook her head. "It's not Commodity you fix by hearkening. It's Commodity that ends on its own." "Ends," he repeated. Her eyes met his, steady but sad. "I'm leaving the megacity. Soon. Perhaps for a while. Perhaps for good." The words hit him like cold rain. "When?" he asked. "Coming week." He tried to laugh it off, but it came out concave. "You're joking." She shook her head again. "I wish I were." He looked down at his sketchbook, at the half-finished delineations, the notes, the moments he'd been trying to capture. "You could have told me." "I didn't know how," she said vocally. "This, whatever this is, it was supposed to be simple. Many coffees, some exchanges, and also, I started looking forward to it too much." He didn't know what to say. His casket felt tight, like the air had gone nearly differently. "Why are you leaving?" he asked eventually. She dithered. "My mama is sick. She lives by the seacoast. I need to go take care of her. It's not ever, but it feels that way right now." He jounced sluggishly. "That's not Commodity you apologize for." "Perhaps not," she said. "But I'm sorry anyway." They sat there for a long time, the world outside blurring into window. Neither of them wanted to say goodbye. Not yet. Eventually, she reached into her bag and pulled Commodity out. His sketch, the first bone he'd drawn of her. "I kept this," she said. "It reminds me that indeed when I didn't feel whole, someone saw me as Commodity worth landing." He looked at her, tried to study everything. The way her fritters coiled around the paper, the faint earthquake in her voice, the insolvable blue of her eyes. "I'll keep drawing," he said still. "Indeed, if you're not then." "I know," she rumored. "That's why I'll come back." That night, after she left, Aaron walked home under sky washed clean by rain. He felt concave, but not empty. More like Commodity had been sculpted out of him. Space that was ent there ahead. When he reached his apartment, he sat down and began to draw again. Not her face this time, not her eyes. Just light, blue light, discovering across a blank runner. He named it the space she left. And beneath it, in small uneven letters, he wrote losses and always gone. The morning she left, the megacity looked washed out. No blue sky, no sun, just a pale kind of brilliance that made everything feel untreated. Aaron hadn't slept. He spent the night drawing without stopping. Sketches that didn't belong anywhere. Faces that blurred into one another. And at the center of all of them, those eyes. He tried to capture them again and again, but nothing felt right. Every interpretation looked like a memory that didn't relatively line up with reality. He checked the timepiece 810. Lena's machine was leaving at 9. He wasn't supposed to go. She hadn't asked him to, but he set up himself walking anyway, past the bookstore, past the florist, past the cafe where it had all started. The thoroughfares were still wet, the smell of rain mixing with coffee and exhaust. When he reached the terminal, he saw her incontinently. She was standing near the edge of the platform, holding a small bag, hair put away under a scarf. She looked lighter ever, but not in a happy way. More like someone who'd formally said her farewells to everything around her. He dithered, also called her name. She turned, and that single moment the recognition, the surprise, the way her face softened, made the whole morning worth it. "You came," she said. "Couldn't let the story end without an epilogue," he said. She smiled, small but real. "I didn't want you to see this part." "Too late." He walked closer. "Did you sleep?" "Slightly." "Me neither." There was a pause, the kind where everything you want to say sits behind your teeth, staying for authorization. Eventually, she said, "I'm not good at farewells." "Also doing say one," he said. "Say, see you latterly." She looked down, also back over. "You really believe that?" "I've to." When the machine started, she glanced toward it, also back at him. He wanted to say commodity that would keep her there. Commodity big, reckless. Perhaps indeed stupid, but nothing he could suppose have felt right. So he reached into his jacket and pulled out a folded piece of paper. "What's this?" she asked. "Commodity I made last night." She unfolded it sluggishly. It was a delineation, not her face, not her eyes this time, but a horizon line. The ocean, drawn in tones of pencil gray, with one band of deep blue cutting through the middle. "What's the blue for?" she asked vocally. He smiled. "You formally know." Her fritters brushed over the runner. "I'll keep it," she said. "I know." Also, for a moment that felt like it should end living commodity as ordinary as a machine terminal, she stepped forward and wrapped her arms around him. It was in a dramatic, broad clinch. It was quiet, grounding, full of the kind of silence that says everything words see ain't. When she eventually pulled down, her eyes were wet but steady. "Take care of yourself, Aaron." "You too. And do and stop drawing. I wait end." Also she smiled, soft, nearly breaking, and turned toward the machine. He watched her rise aboard, watched the doors near, watched the vehicle pull down until it faded around the corner. And also she was gone, the days after blurred together. He went to the cafe out of habit, still ordered two coffees occasionally before catching himself. Mara didn't say anything, just refilled his mug, and let him sit in silence. The empty present across from him came both comfort and torment. It reminded him of her, of their small ritual, of how commodities so brief could change the texture of a life. One night, after a long rain, he eventually opened the book she'd given him, letters to the lost light. Inside the cover, written in small, careful handwriting, were words he hadn't noticed before for whoever finds this occasionally the brightest effects enter your life still. Do and chase them when they leave. Just keep the window open. He read the whole book that night, sluggishly, like she'd told him to. It was full of unsent letters from one nut to another, written across times and distances. Each letter sounded like commodity, she might have said, soft, reflective, honest in a way that hurt a little. When he finished, he closed it gently, holding the weight of it in his hands. He eventually understood why she'd given it to him. It was a story about love set up. It was about love flashback. Weeks passed. Also months. Seasons changed. People came and went. But she stayed, nearly in his art, in the corner of his studies, in every shade of blue he ever mixed onto an oil. His work started to shift. Guests noticed at first. "Your new pieces feel different," one of them said. "Further mortal." He didn't explain why. He didn't have to. He began an exhibition series called The Blue You Left Before. Each oil was a moment pulled from their brief time together. The cafe window's reflection, rain on glass, a hand reaching across a table. But no way her face. No way the whole story. People asked if the you in the title was real. He always said the same thing, real enough. Also, one evening nearly a time latterly, he entered a letter. Handwritten. No return address. The handwriting was unmistakable. He opened it precisely, breath catching before he indeed read a word. Aaron, I wasn't sure if I should write. I didn't know what would change. Perhaps nothing. Perhaps everything. My mama is doing better. The ocean helps her breathe easier, and I'm staying a while longer. I spend my mornings walking by the reinforcement, and occasionally I suppose about how you formerly said you draw people before they speak. Perhaps that's what we were, a pause before commodity bigger. I saw Filmland of your exhibition online. The oils feel like home. You made the blue look alive again. Thank you for that. Occasionally, I wonder if you still stay by the window. If you still sketch faces you might no way meet again. I hope you do. There's a cafe then by the ocean. It smells like swab and rain. However, it's a good place to be set up if you ever get lost. Lena, he read it 3 times, also placed it beside his sketchbook. The coming morning, he woke before daylight, packed a small bag, left his apartment without telling anyone where he was going. The literal city was quieter than the megacity, the kind of place where everything moved pokily. The ocean stretched endlessly ahead, the sound of swells soft but constant. He set up the cafe fluently. It was small, painted white with blue shutters. The bell over the door chimed exactly the way he flashed back. And there she was, sitting near the window, hair caught by the ocean breath, a book open in front of her. For a moment, he just stood there, watching. It felt like walking into a memory that had awaited patiently to come real again. Also, she looked up. Her eyes met his, the same insolvable blue. And just like that, without demanding a single word, everything that had been untreated fell into place. They didn't rush toward each other, didn't make a scene. They just smiled, soft, knowing, alive. When he eventually sat across from her, she said, "Took you long enough." He laughed still. "I got lost." "In what?" He looked straight at her, and for the first time, the words didn't feel like a conceit presently. "In the blue of your eyes." She smiled, the same bone that had stopped him all those months ago. "Also, perhaps," she said, closing her book, "you were exactly where you were supposed to be." Outside, the ocean kept breathing. The sky stretched open, the light catching just right on the water. Blue, endless, forgiving. Inside, they sat across from each other again, like time had only broke, not passed. The world was still moving, still uncertain, but for that moment, neither of them watched. They had set up the place where lost effects belong.